Well, howdy, everybody. Good morning to you. And happy Father's Day, guys. Happy Father's Day. We're glad you're here in worship with us this morning. And those who are watching online, welcome to Clinton Methodist Church. I'm Jimmy Criddle, the pastor here. And we're so grateful to have you joining us on this very special holiday. As you came in, you should have received one of these vouchers. Okay, all right. We're going to underscore the voucher with some great music. So we have partnered with Cafezinho Coffee right here in Clinton. And by the way, I was told to pronounce it Cafezinho. It's Portuguese. So I talked to Johnny. We've worked out a deal. Give you guys a free cup of coffee. So please go by and visit one of their locations here in Clinton or Flowood. There's one on Northside Drive and one out by the Walmart. So you take that in there, and they'll give you a free 16-ounce cup of coffee until the end of the month. So take it by there and take advantage of it. I was talking to some folks in the early service, and they said, well, I don't drink coffee. I understand that. Well, go by and get it and give it to somebody else. You know, give a cup to someone. Maybe to somebody that you see that's out there doing a great job at being a dad, and let them know how appreciative you are of them. So today we're going to jump back into the book of 1 John, and we're going to be in chapter 3 this morning. We're going to look at the first 10 verses of that, and the title of the message today is Wake Up to the Father's Love. So we kind of got a coffee theme throughout our message today. So let's look at verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we will see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning, and no one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. By this it is evident that we are children of God, and who we are, and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right, so I've got some dad jokes to kind of get us going this morning. Okay, y'all want some dad jokes? What did the daddy coffee bean say to the little naughty coffee bean? You're grounded. Okay. Where do bad cups of coffee go when they die? Purgatory. Okay, all right. It's going to be that kind of day, huh? Why did the cup of coffee always complain? He was just bitter. Why should you never discuss coffee in public? It can get heated. All right, last one. Why did the coffee file a police report? Y'all should get this one. Because it got mugged. How many of you guys start your day off with a cup of coffee? All right. How many? All right, keep your hands up. How many of you start your day off with some version of caffeine? Whether that's a Mountain Dew, a Coke, or something like that. Monster drink, a Dr. Death drink. I don't know what all they got out there these days. All right, a lot of you put your hands down. Y'all, America runs on caffeine, doesn't it? I mean, we got to have caffeine to get our day going. Our mornings need a good jolt in order to wake us up. Well, this morning what I'm going to do is I want to give you a good jolt of biblical inspiration to wake you up to the Father's love. The love of God awakens us to who we are and how we live. So that's what I want to talk to you about today, looking at this passage in 1 John chapter 3. So the first thing, wake up to who you are. Notice how John begins this section in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, I love how the New King James Version puts it. Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. You know, when I hear those words right here in the middle of this letter that John is writing, remember it was a sermon that was written down and distributed among the churches around the city of Ephesus at the end of the first century. And this John is the same John that was one of the disciples of Jesus that wrote the Gospel of John. Same dude. And right here in the middle of the sermon, I can sense that, you know, they're sitting in the houses around the city, and they're having worship on maybe a Sunday morning, and they're somebody, one of the elders of the house church is standing up and is reading this letter. And just like you tend to do, when Jimmy goes a little bit long, you start to drift off and go to sleep. All right? Anybody guilty of that? Don't raise your hands. I can tell, and I'm going to start pointing y'all out if you fall asleep. So right here in the middle, John's like, behold, how great, how marvelous is the love that our Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And people starting to perk up. They're like, wow, yeah, this is amazing. Let's lean in here. Behold, you know, Jesus uses that word a lot of times when he's teaching. John the Baptist used this word the day Jesus came to be baptized in the River Jordan. John, it's like he gets everybody's attention. He says, behold, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You know, this word behold, it's different than just look or see. You know, to see means to perceive something with our eyes, to notice or to observe. But to behold means to gaze upon in awe and wonder, to give our attention to something. And John is saying, hey, let's give our attention to this love that God has for us. Now, when I think about beholding, I learned so much from my dad by beholding him, and watching him. My dad had his morning routine. Every day he would get up right at dawn, and he would go to the kitchen and put on a pot of coffee. And sometimes he would go and lay back down in the bed while the coffee was brewing. And then once my dad, he would sit kind of quietly in the house in the living room when nobody else was up and would enjoy that cup of coffee. And it helped him get his day started. And what I find myself doing is starting my day the exact same way. I don't know if it was the smell that permeated the house that just kind of got into my pores and my psyche, but there's something about drinking that first cup in the quiet of the day before everything else gets started. It gets me going. And I learned that from my dad. You know, they say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Well, one of the things that I remember my dad doing a lot of times after he had that first cup was he would go outside and he would start, you know, working, especially on the weekends. And one of the things that I remember seeing my dad do a lot was washing and waxing the family car. Now, my dad, he had kind of a love for cars and trucks and things. I can remember he had lots of different ones when I was growing up. But this one car really was special to him. And we've got a picture of it that I want to show you. Now, this isn't the literal car, but it was just like this. The same color, same year, same make and model. What you're looking at is a 1978 Ford LTD 2 coupe. And you can see that this thing come factory like that. It was sporty. It had those Krager-style rims on it. Some of them had the T-tops with that leather, red leather interior in it. And it had that beautiful racing stripe down the side of it. I could see my dad out in the yard, like just like this, washing and waxing on that car. And, you know, my dad, he always had this mantra that he lived by. And I observed it throughout my growing up years. And that mantra was this: if you have been given things, anything worth having is worth taking care of. And maybe you've heard it put this way before. Anything worth doing is worth doing right. Yeah, my dad's version of that: anything worth having is worth taking care of. It didn't matter if it was an old Ford car or a lawnmower or a garden or anything else. My dad always was meticulous about his stuff. And he instilled that into me. And that's why I take care of the things that I have. And it wasn't so much the words that my dad said to me that instilled that into me, but it was through his actions. It was by watching him that I learned to value that. That's what's behind that word behold. It's about looking and beholding and seeing and watching from others. And through their actions, we are brought into an awareness of some deeper truths about life. And I love that John is putting our attention here. And specifically, he's putting it on the love that God has for us. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." You know, I think about who could say something like that. Talking about how great a father's love is. It has to be somebody who had a great dad. I think that probably John's father instilled a lot of this in him. You know, what a privilege, what a gift it is to have a sense of gratitude for having a loving dad in your life. Now, not everybody can say that, and I understand. Some of us may feel like that our families would make a great episode of Jerry Springer or Dr. Phil. You know, we may have some experiences like that of our dads, you know, not being so great all the time. But I've spent a lot of time reflecting on my dad this week and giving thanks for him. My dad passed away in 2000 from a massive heart attack. He got up one morning to put on that pot of coffee, and he laid back in the bed and he never got up. And it still hurts, you know. It's still tender. And any of you that have lost a father, you know how Father's Day can it's kind of a mixed thing for us. We're truly grateful for the men that God has placed in our life, but we realize that there's also an empty place left when they're no longer with us. And while I can say that my dad wasn't perfect, there were some seasons and episodes that could have landed on Jerry Springer. But he was a good, loving father. And there was no doubt about that in my life growing up. John says that when we take time to really reflect upon God, who he is and what he's done, he says there's one image that comes to mind. There's one image that stands out to him. And that is God as a loving Heavenly Father. To know God as our Heavenly Father is to know that God is trustworthy, that God is faithful, and that God is reliable. Unlike an earthly father, our Heavenly Father never fails us and will always have our best interest at heart. This is who our Heavenly Father is. And us earthly fathers, we look to Him. We look to our Heavenly Father to learn what it means to love well, to love our families well. And this really stands out to me as I read through the book of 1 John, that John would draw upon that imagery for us. You know, as I look at my life, there have been so many godly men that have influenced the person that I am today. I think about my uncle Jerry Hare, who lives outside of Vardaman, Mississippi. It was he and my Aunt Linda that used to take me to vacation Bible schools in the summer, just like what we had here. And just like so many of you brought grandkids and nieces and nephews to Bible school this week, as well as your own children. You know, that's where I was first introduced to Jesus. And it was at one of these Bible schools. And that was what my aunt and uncle did. Later, there was another surrogate aunt and uncle, Charlie Hamblin and Miss Dina. They were very instrumental when I was a young teenager in taking me to church with them on Wednesday nights and helping to shape my life of faith. There were other godly men. Dennis Fink, I talked about last week in the message. Rusty King, Jerry Horton. There have been all these influential men in my life who have awakened me to the love of Jesus. You know, I learned the truth of God's love through their words, but more importantly, it was through their actions. And I know that we have a lot of godly men in this church, and I am so grateful for you men and for you having your families in church and making that a priority in your life, because it's how we learned to love Jesus and to know Jesus. And so John is saying we need to wake up to this truth that we are children of God. And y'all, when we say that, I'm not just giving a platitude here. I'm not a nice concept or an idea. We're just children of God. No, this is something that has to be revealed to us supernaturally. The love of God our Father is a reality that goes beyond anything that we could simply comprehend with our minds. This love of God, the Bible says, is shed abroad in our hearts. It really takes an awakening to that for us to realize that, yeah, there is a Heavenly Father that truly loves us as we are, who truly died for us to take away our sin and to give us a gift beyond all gifts, and that's the gift of eternal life. This has to be revealed to us. This is something the Holy Spirit must awaken in our hearts. I love how Paul describes it in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory He may grant you to be strengthened with His power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that being rooted and grounded in love, you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." I love that line, to comprehend with all the saints the greatness of God's love. That's something Paul says the Holy Spirit has to reveal to us. And Paul is echoing the same powerful gospel truth that John believes. This is what it means to behold. Behold the overwhelming, never-ending, never-failing love of God. And God uses godly men and women in our lives to display His love to us. And I'm so thankful that God chooses to work that way. And you know, the more that people live out this type of godly example and this deep, deep love of Jesus, both in them and displayed through them, through their example, the more we see and behold that measure of love, the more we become like it. And this is what Paul and John are trying to draw our attention to, is let us put our gaze upon our Heavenly Father and His love, so that that love can shape our own way of loving and living, especially as it comes to parenting. And so we become what we behold. You know, I talked about that last week in the message. The key to our spiritual maturity and knowing God is beholding so that we can become like Him. And John says again in verses 2 and 3 to make it clear, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself as He is pure. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him." Do you see the connection? Beholding leads to becoming. And I'm so thankful that God uses godly people who have awakened to God's love for them to display for us what the measure of that love looks like. And that leads me to the final point. Wake up to your greatest assignment. That's what I want to call you to action to today, is wake up. You have been given an assignment. And I'm especially speaking to parents today. We do not need to lose sight of what our great assignment is. Yes, we are providers, and sometimes it feels like as a parent we're just writing checks, right? You know, we're just putting money on the green light card. We're just providing for our kids. You know, we're just there to bring the levity, you know, to tell us a few good corny dad jokes. But there's so much more to it than that, y'all. So much more to being a dad or a mom. You know, yes, we teach our kids. It's instrumental what we're called to do, to teach and pour into our kids. We can teach them things like mowing the grass and working hard, like with my father, things he taught me. We can teach them how to play sports. But none of those things, and I want you to hear me on this, none of those things will be greater than teaching them what it means to love Jesus. This is our greatest assignment as a parent, is that we model for them and we show them through our actions and example that there is a Heavenly Father that we're looking to that is in influencing the way that we are called to parent. Do we allow our children to behold our faith in Jesus? Are we putting that on display for our families? Are we waking them up to the love of Jesus? Y'all, this is the great assignment. And I love that Nikki Parsons, one of our kids ministry team leaders, who's a part of our church, Nikki's in the back, Lauren, they both do a great job working with our students. And y'all, we had a fantastic Bible school. Thank you, ladies, for... We appreciate you guys helping us to learn what it means to love like Jesus through our Live It Out VBS. But Nikki spent a lot of time at the beginning of the school year to clarify, or the beginning of this year, sorry, in January, December and January, to come up with a way of refocusing our mission, of the mission of our kids' ministry. And here's how she put it. Our desire for the kids' ministry is to witness this generation fall in love with Jesus and His Word, and to love being a part of the church. What about that for a mission? Aren't you thankful that we have kids' ministers that are looking to create that kind of environment where kids fall in love with Jesus, where they're exposed to the love of God, the love that Jesus has for them? And His Word, and then I love that other part, and to love being a part of the church. You know, to help kids know that they have a place in the church, that they can give leadership in the church, that the church values them for who they are, and our responsibility as leaders to value them in helping them to contribute to the church. I love that mission, and I think it's a wonderful mission. And it ties right in to our assignment to help our children to awaken to God's love, to fall in love with Jesus. How are you doing in that? Are you modeling that for your kids? You know, as I think about myself, I'm not perfect in that. I've certainly had my faults and failures over the years. But I keep looking to Jesus to help me, to strengthen me, to give me a clear picture of His love so that I can be empowered by Him to love my kids the way that God loves them. And what that means for me is a lot of patience, a lot of humility, and sometimes forgiveness. You know, I've had to ask my kids from time to time to forgive me for saying stupid things and doing stupid things. Anybody guilty of any of those? Yeah, y'all could raise your hand. I know. But I'm so thankful that our Heavenly Father forgives us when we fail and fall short. And hopefully our kids can see us that way too, that, hey, we are going to fail and fall short, and they can certainly give us forgiveness. So what are you doing? What are we doing to wake up our children to this one great truth? If we want the next generation to fall in love with Jesus and love like Jesus, it begins with comprehending the height and the depth and the length and the width of God's love for them. And you know what? It begins with us. It begins with us. Our purpose as children of God is to help the next generation of children to love Christ and to love being a part of His church. They awaken to this great spiritual reality by beholding how we love and live like Jesus. And we live this way not by being perfect, but by following our Heavenly Father, who is perfect in all of His ways. And we point them to Him. This is our one great assignment. And what I want to do to close out my time here before Tom and Jacob and everybody comes back up to take up our offering is I want to invite the men of our church to come down here to the front, and we want to pray over you this morning. Because I know personally how challenging it is to be a dad. So men, would y'all come down? And some of you may not have children yet, but you are aspiring to be a dad. I want you to come down too. Come on, get up. Come on down. Stand down front. Lead by example, men. If we give altar calls and have people come down in our church, we want you to set the example for that. And you know, what we're really doing here is by stepping forward, at least the way I visualize it, is we're saying, God, I need your help. I need you. I need you to help me to be the dad that you're calling me to be. And for those of you that don't yet have kids, we're saying, God, I want you to equip me so that one day when I have kids, I can be that godly man of faith. Now, those of you that are sitting out there, I just want to invite you to pray with me over these guys. And by the way, as I look out, man, we have some wonderful dudes here, some godly men, and I am thankful for every one of you. I'm thankful to be a part of a church that has the caliber of men that we have. And we as a church, we need to do more to invest in you. And I hope that we can find ways to do that. So let's pray. And as we bow and begin our time of prayer, I just want to begin by thanking God for our dads, the ones that have influenced us. So God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the source of every blessing in our life. And God, we thank you for the men that have poured into us and shaped our lives through their example. And also, Lord, sometimes we learn through the things that they've gotten wrong. And so, God, we thank you for teaching us and showing us all of these wonderful truths through our earthly fathers. And God, today we just acknowledge that for some of us, you know, our dads are no longer a part of our life here and now. And God, we remember them today. And we give thanks to you. And for some of us, that hurt is still raw. It's still there, and we feel it every day that we don't have our dads with us. But God, we live also with the hope that we will see them again. And we thank you for that hope you give us. So now for these men, especially the ones that have children, that influence them. God, I know that there are things that we would lift up and confess today and say, Lord, we've not lived up to the standard that we know you've called us to. And we ask your forgiveness, God. And we ask you to strengthen and help us to be a man of faith that loves you in a way that is evident to the children in our life. So help us, Lord, to be fearless in our love for you. And out of that place of knowing that we are forgiven by our Heavenly Father, may we be forgiving dads as well. Patient and humble and slow to anger. Would you help us with that, Lord? And God, I pray that for those of us that maybe are carrying a weight of responsibility, a stress, a load on our shoulders of providing for our families, God, I pray that you would give us your peace. Help us to not strive so much, Lord, but to find a way of trusting in you more as our provider. To trust that there's nothing that you call us to do that you won't equip us to do, Lord. And so would you give us wisdom? Would you use us in powerful ways to influence in godly ways children in our church and our community and in our families? And God, for these men up here that are aspiring one day to be parents, I pray you would bless them. Bless them, Lord, with children of their own. And prepare them, Lord. Help them to begin now to invest and to determine what kind of parent they will be. Would you pour your love into these guys today and help them to love like you, Jesus? We pray this in your holy name. Amen. God bless you guys. Y'all can be seated.